Good evening. It's good to be back. I've stood in this pulpit a couple times over the years. I consider Leonard a dear friend, John, some of the other pastors here. I enjoy coming here. I enjoy young people. Here's the future church. Here's the salt that's going to be left when we are gone. Some of you will someday be pastors and teachers and apostles. And I don't mind downloading weight on young people. You can handle it. A little bit about our family. My wife, Martha, is here. We have 11 children. One of her daughters is here with you in the class. Rebecca, she's stacked in the middle of 11. So she's number 6. And it's a tough life when you're in the middle of 11 because the old ones get all the attention, the young ones get all the attention. But when you're in the middle, you just kind of get ignored sometimes. So we try to give some attention to Rebecca sometimes too. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Well, actually, before we get into that, recently looked at my brother's wedding book in the registry. And I was somewhat disappointed. But it's amazing what 25 years does to a registry. And young people that walked with God 25 years ago are no longer walking with God. And I trust that 25 years from now, things will be different for this group of young people. That you will still be in the faith. That you will still be faithful. That First Timothy chapter 4 verse 12. We're going to preach out of that verse tonight. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word. In charity. In spirit, in faith, in purity. In word, number one. In word means the words that we speak, including the thought. Young people, you're to be an example of the believers in word. That's the words that you speak that come out of your mouth. Including the thought. Now, I tell my family sometimes, just go by what I mean, not by what I say. Did you ever, like, say something and you're just busy and, okay, just go by what I mean, not what I say. Word means what we speak plus the thought that's associated with it. The words we speak include, words often reveal our hearts. Matthew teaches us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Is our conversation edifying and does it point others to truth? Proverbs 16 says this, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. You know, you have a tremendous opportunity to bless others with your words, to be life-giving to be around. to minister to your family. Pleasant words are sweet. God's words. Let's think a little bit about God's words. You know, this book here is God's words, compiled by about, written by about 40 different men over about a 15-year time span, written by kings, priests, prophets, farmers. And what's amazing is it all fits together because it was written under inspiration. And this book has personally changed more lives than any book in history. This book is the greatest in literature. And how many of you ever wrestled with it being a little boring sometimes? It's not this book's problem. It's our problem. Okay? There are fishing stories in this book that beat any fishing story you could ever tell. I'm serious. Yeah, well swallowed, well in Jonah. The well, the scripture says that Jonah runs away. I don't know a lot. How many of you boys fish? I'm not much of a fisherman. I very long on the end of that pole and it gets pretty boring, but some people can do it. So I do understand that when you fish, if you want to catch big fish, you use big bait. Is that accurate? Use big bait? Well, in the story here, they use the fishermen. Throw the whole man in. That's the biggest. I don't think there's any fishing story better than that. There's one problem. They forgot to connect the string. And the whale ate him and left. It is an unbelievable fishing story. And then the whale heads back to where Jonah belonged. And there's nothing like 3 days of seaweed and stomach acid to work on a stubborn heart. 3 days later, the fish gets a stomach ache. Yeah? Ah! Dumps them out on the beach, close to the beach anyway. Can you imagine the people sitting there eating their supper on the beach? And this guy just like comes out of the water, slime and all, and heads off on a steady trot towards Nineveh. I wonder if they ever told anybody. I mean, they would have probably, they probably kept quiet because how do you tell your friend something like that? He just came up out of the water. It's in the Bible and it's true. It's the best fishing story. Go to Jesus. How many of you pay your taxes by just fishing? Throw your hook out, catch the first fish that comes in. The money's in his mouth, take it out, go pay your taxes. Doesn't get better than that. You know, we have our words, but then it says, be thou an example of the believers in conversation. Now, I thought we were just, isn't that our words? No, actually, if you check that out, it means the way you behave. Now, my father was a man who didn't instruct me, I would say, a lot. And yet, he left a powerful impression on my life by watching his conversation. The things he did, how he responded to difficulty, impressed me deeply. I would look at my father as an unborn again man, as a young man who was not converted, and I would say, I know Dad is real. There's no doubt about it in my mind, my father is real. I mean, Christian, that is. So in conversation, let no man despise a youth, but be thou an example in believers of the believers in word. in conversation, the way you behave. The Greek meaning for that is just simply behavior. I have a question for you. Some of you would probably, most of you would probably like to raise families someday and maybe have children. Are you satisfied with your children living exactly like you do right now? You satisfied? Do you want them to think the same thoughts that you think or live out in your behavior? If not, you're despising your youth. You're looking for something from others that yourself are not willing to live. Let no man despise that youth. If I could only help you understand tonight how quick these couple years go by. You're so young and in some ways innocent, hopefully innocent, but it's not going to be long. And you're all going to be walking around with gray hair, just like the rest of us older folks. And we're going to be gone. Live like you want your children to live. I think most of us still have enough of a conscience and awareness of what is right and wrong that we have an idea what that is. Okay? But that's why I'm mentioning your children, because it seems like there's a sensitivity to what our children would be that helps to direct our own heart. I remember one time, having a clear conscience. We had an old brother who used to stand up and testify and talk about his youth and talking about having a clear conscience. And he would talk about stealing crayons when he was young and then God getting a hold of his heart and he'd have to go clear his conscience. You know, as an unbeliever, I was with a group of guys one time and they were going to do something that I knew someday I'd have to go back and apologize for. I told them I'm not going to do it because it didn't seem worth it to me. Even though I was not a professing believer in Jesus Christ, I didn't want to have to someday go clear my conscience. It wasn't worth it. Have you developed your own personal walk with God? Do you have a relationship with God that's going to span time? How is your personal devotions going? If you don't get it now, when life gets busier, do you expect to get it then? It's not the way it works. Young men, young ladies, despise not your youth. You got one chance at it and it goes so quick. In just a few years, it's gone. Have you learned to have a personal time in the Word of God? And have you developed a sensitivity to the Spirit of God? I remember as a new believer in Jesus Christ, laying down and starting to go to sleep, I didn't have my devotions. And I had heard somebody share the testimony of how they had made that discipline in their life, and I did what he did. Got back out of bed, went and read my Bible, because I wanted to develop that discipline as a young man. And also be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Now look, I don't know how I can help you with this one, but the Spirit of God is not your gut. Okay? It's not your personal preference. Somehow learn to be sensitive and discern and figure out, was that the Spirit of God or was that my own personal idea? I've seen the Spirit of God lead people all over the place according to them. Not the Spirit of God, if you will. just simply their idea of what the Spirit of God was. In other words, they tacked God onto their carnality. Get this as soon as possible. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Have you ever sought first your kingdom, then tried to add God? God dealt with me as a young man with this when I was now a believer in Jesus. And I decided I wanted to date a young lady. And for some reason in my mind, I thought, after I get this dating thing going, I'm going to get serious with God. And you know what? God didn't let me get by with that. That relationship fell apart. He wanted me to, first of all, know in my heart and in my mind, without a doubt, that there was nothing between me and Him. It was painful, but I bless God today. There are transactions that you need to make in your heart that we can't make for you. I wish we could, but we can't. We can invite you. But there are decisions that you need to make in your heart that we can't do for you. Transactions you need to make between you and your God that no parent can do. When young people walk with God, it brings a sense of wholeness and health to the body of Christ. There is nothing more beautiful than young people who love God. And I tell you, there is nothing that gives strength to leadership like young people who love God. It's life. So some of you young guys, you want to take some scripture verses. Proverbs 27:11. Who wants to get that one? 27:11. Let's take this one over here. Helmuth. Proverbs 3:1-2. Someone else, go ahead. Yes. While I'm at it, I'm just going to look down through here and see if there's any other. Okay, Proverbs 27:11 says what? There's nothing, boys, that gives your father credibility like you walking with God. And there is nothing that robs a man of strength more than a child who is foolish. And there's nothing pains a mother's heart more than a wayward child. As a shepherd in the church and as a parent, there's no greater joy than to hear that our children walk in the truth. The conversation that you live influences others. Do you believe that you have a direct influence on your friends and your siblings? Recently, one of the brethren in the church lives right at the end of his lane. There's a 90-degree turn in the road, and his soybean field is right ahead. And one day he noticed that the soybean field had a trail through it from some vehicle, which is not unusual on that corner. What was a little unusual was a couple days later, somebody shows up at the door and knocks and says, "Hey, I just want to apologize. The other night I was coming down the road here, and that 90-degree corner came up, and I just went through your soybeans. I'm sorry about that. I apologize." "That's okay." He said, "By the way," he said, "there's two sets of tracks." He said, "I want to apologize for the second one also." "Really? What was the second? The fellow behind me followed me into the beans till. And you don't think you have influence. Some years ago, one of our daughters eyes. My wife said to me, "Are you noticed her eyes? They don't look clear anymore. The light is going out." And I was rebellious as a young person. And so I have a fear of my children doing the same thing. And it scared me. Not much open rebellion, but the light was going. And to top it off, her little sister apparently had bonded more with her than Mom and I. And her little sister, you could just see her heart going right with her sister. That is scary when you're a parent. My wife and I got down on our knees and began to pray. About a month later, the older daughter came and just opened up some things. And the light came back in her eyes. And her little sister started to walk right again. And her little sister, the light came back in her face too. Now, maybe we made mistakes as parents and we didn't have our children's hearts all like we should have. I don't know. But I tell you what, we have influence, and you young people have way more influence than you think. Hopefully sometime later in the week I can talk about peer pressure a little bit. In word, in conversation, and in charity. How can young people be an example of charity? How can you demonstrate to the world what the believers look like when it comes to charity? Cross-generational relationships. Our old folks love it in our church when the young people invite them over and just spend an evening hanging out together with the old folks. And then they'll sing to them, maybe play games together. And the old folks just love it. And the young people just love it. It's just such a special time. And the old folks tell stories to the young people when they were young. And cross-generational relationships. Good relationships with your friends. No cliques. And I have 8 girls, and I know that girls can have relationship struggles sometimes. And this is an opportunity to develop what the Bible calls charity. Young lady recently from our community there, she had grown up, and she recently joined our congregation. And so I just interviewed her a little bit and I said, "What was it that pulled you here? I mean, you made some pretty big steps." You know what she said? "It was the love. That's what pulled her in. It was the love." And I actually asked her if she would come and share her testimony here with us later in the week. She said she would. I'm not sure if we'll be able to work it in or not, but she said she would do that. She said it probably won't be long. But I just thought it'd be interesting because she didn't go into detail what that love looked like. I asked her if she'd be willing to just share. What did that look like? What did it feel like? that pulled you in. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, we have my daughter, actually the one sitting here, which is Rebecca, a while back, my wife said she's the middle child, and we ought to do something for her that's kind of special, like something that kind of sets her apart from her siblings, and she wants a horse. Don't you think we should get her a horse? And so I agreed to that. We bought her a horse. Well, then, of course, next sibling thinks she needs a horse. So we end up doing that. But anyway, this horse is born again. Seriously. I'll put it this way. I don't believe horses can be born again. Okay? But the other day, these horses got together with their cousin's horse. And their cousin's horse is not born again. And they were in the pen, and our horse was standing there looking out over the field, and the horse that's not born again just backed up to it and let go with both feet. Go wham! Again, wham, wham, wham! About five or six times. And our horse just stood there and looked out over the pasture and kind of looked around like, when you're done being a brat, we'll be friends. And you know what? There are people who don't do that good. Seriously. I've heard people say before they're born again. And I'll tell you, our horse is more born again than they are, I can assure you. I've seen it. Because their behavior. I don't believe horses can be born again, but I do believe horses can do a better job than people sometimes. She was so nonplussed. If you want to wham me, that's fine. But when we're done, we'll be friends. Blessed are the peacemakers. What is a peacemaker? It's a shock absorber. In relationships. Blessed are the peacemakers. Do you know that at some point, if you're a follower of God, you will be called to be a peacemaker? Because in human relationships, we need shock absorbers. I jumped in one of my daughter's car a while back, and I went down the road, and this thing about rattled my teeth out, and I said, what is going on? Well, Dad, it's been kind of like this. Well, I'm sorry. Get the thing to the garage. It needs shock absorbers. You put them in, you do not know what shock absorbers do driving down the interstate, but you take them off, and you will soon find out. And you take the shock absorbers and the peacemakers out of the brotherhood, and you will find out how quick this place will turn into a ball of fire. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. In word, in conversation, in charity. Job tells us in chapter 12, verse 7, but ask now the beast, the horse, and they shall teach thee. In spirit, John 4, 1 says this, we are to try the spirits whether they be of God. What are the fruits of the spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. You young people have the ability. Now, look, if your parents exemplified this for you, it will be a lot easier for you to understand and live it. And if your parents did not do this, I'm calling you tonight to live a higher standard than what your parents are living, okay? You can do it. Because you're children of God. Go beyond what your parents have done and become children of the kingdom. First of all, try the spirits and see whether they be of God or not. There are many deceiving spirits out in the world today, and there are people who are able to articulate falsehood in incredible ways and detail. And here is one way that you can be protected. Pay attention to concerns of the older people. Sometimes they are not smart enough to articulate truth correctly or do it in the right way, but they have some impressions that need to be paid attention to. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, recently I was preaching and I asked John Byers this question. I said, John, the counseling that you do, middle-aged couples who are mired in problems and difficulties and just seem to be struggling with their relationships and with God and with victory, did most of those issues start back when they were young? And his response was, yes. So I'm making an appeal to you tonight. You do not have time to goof off. It is right at this level, right here, where you need to get together with your God and get on the right path. Because if not, the pastors are stuck years later counseling issues that have gone on for years and years. It's not the way God intended. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The problem with concrete is it hardens over time. While your heart is still soft, respond to God's Spirit. I remember the night I gave my life to Christ. And one of the motivating things was, I'm afraid that the day will come when God's Spirit will quit calling. And I don't know when that is, but I don't want to find out. And that was one of the motivations that helped me to move beyond my sin to seeking God. The problem with concrete is it hardens over time. For those of you who lay concrete, it hardens over time. Far more young people come to God than old people because they get used to living that way. Be thou an example to believers in and in faith. Young people, call me on gospel billboards, and they say, I'm losing my faith. And so I start asking questions like, do you read a Bible? Well, I did one time. Do you go to church? No, well, COVID, we kind of quit. I'm not sure if they're losing their faith or if there was not faith to begin with or what it was, but faith is an important part. And I want to warn you while you're young, your faith is going to be tried by fire between now and the grave. That is a normal passage for the believer. My brethren, count it all joy when you face diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith is more precious than gold. The refining, the testing. I've said multiple times this summer that I think this was one of the most difficult years of my life. It has just been one thing on top of the other. And some days I felt like I was in the middle of some kind of ocean wave and I couldn't tell if I was up or down. It's just been an incredible summer. And I'm just waiting on God. I want to talk to you about movies. I am guessing, knowing Brother Leonard, that that's something that you don't struggle with a lot here. But just in case there are people here that struggle with it, I want to talk to you about it a little bit because I was in a congregation one time where families felt it was okay to watch movies. And I was, my brother lived in Ohio, and we were friends with different church groups there. And movies were accepted among their young people. And I just want to tell you something, that if you develop that kind of diet, don't complain if your soul grows cold. I remember my brother said one time there was a group of youth meetings just like this. And there was good teaching and preaching there. And he said they were invited over to somebody's place afterwards. And the young people were gathered to watch a movie. And my brother and his wife walked in, their children, and he didn't know what to do at first. He just sat down and watched for a while. And after me, he said, I can't do this. I can't do this. And he walked back out. That kind of diet. Now, I can understand something that maybe is educational. And I don't even want, I better not say anything, because Brother Leonard, I don't know what he expects from you, okay? But I want to tell you something. Both my brother and I lived in congregation for a while where we were trying to navigate with our children, and how do you let them go to some house if there's movies over there, and how do you work your children through this, and how do you still be friends without being kind of, you know. But I am convinced that the looseness in a lot of young people, that opening themselves up to that kind of diet steals their soul. Because the Spirit of God, this will become dull if you feed your soul like that. And I want to talk about music. This is a big thing for young people. Young lady came up to me at the last Bible school I taught and just said, well, what do you think about country music? I've been listening to country music. How do you feel about that? And I just looked at her and I said, well, slamming doors and broken hearts is what country music is about. And Jesus came to deliver us from these kind of things. And if you feed your soul with that kind of thing, you're going to push out the very thing that the gospel came to do in your soul. It came to deliver us from slamming doors and broken hearts. It came to create whole families, people who love God. It came to create solid families where children and parents love each other's company and churches enjoy each other's company. And people love each other. Not slam the door. One more thought on faith. My son preached a short message the other Sunday. Faith is a movable shield. And I thought, I like that thought. Because just about the time you think you have faced it all, you discover another one comes at you from a different direction and you need to move that shield around. Just about the time you think that you have been through it. Or here's another one that Satan does sometimes. I've seen families, you know, God is allowing chastening. And then, to top it off, more comes. About the time you think they've had all they can handle, they get hit with another. And sometimes I think we just got to do like Jesus did. Peter, I pray for you that your faith fail not. Because in some ways, we can't do your faith test for you. We can only do our faith test. Despise not your youth. It's going to be over really quick. I love my children, but they just grow up so quick. Take a little baby, watch them for 3 months, and then grab another newborn and bring them over and put them side by side and go, "Woo, what have you been doing? Growing really fast." Impurity. Be thou an example of believers in purity. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Four of the 10 sins that are mentioned there keep us from entering the kingdom of heaven and related to our sexual purity. Sexuality is a big thing. It might not be at the center of Christianity, but it's about them pretty close. It's pretty close. Almost 50% of the sins that will keep us out of the kingdom of heaven, listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, have the relation to our sexuality. Sexuality is something good. It was created by God. It can be a tremendous blessing. Powerful pull. Young people, possess your bodies in sanctification and holiness. Temptation itself is not sin, though it can quickly become so. And I want to say this carefully, because I've preached already on purity, and I think sometimes there are very sensitive consciences. And if you have a sensitive conscience, just sit down and share with your pastor. Share with somebody you trust. But at the same time, there are way too many men in the Anabaptist churches who know about pornography. Now, I realize that someday every one of our children will partake of the forbidden fruit in some form or another. That's called what we call sin. And the question is not whether people partake of sin. The question is, what do we do with our children? How do we walk them through sin? I have made it a point when new church members come or when young men come around and are interested in my daughters, you know what? One of the first questions I'm going to ask is, where are you at with your moral purity? If you're coming to our brotherhood and you want to be a part of brotherhood, where are you at? Are you pure? Well, I struggle. Please. That word gives me red flags anymore. That tells me right away that that individual is not free, but that they have failed again and again and again. Please, brethren, the standard for moral purity is Ephesians 5, 3, let it not be once named among you. That's God's standard. I don't know how I can say this more clear, because I grieve. If you have a smartphone and you cannot use it properly, you must get rid of it according to Jesus' teachings. If thy hand or thy eye offend thee, cut it off. Okay? So if you can't handle your smartphones, get rid of it. That is according to the teaching of Jesus. When folks observe churches, at least when I observe churches, I don't care so much about their doctrinal positions. Now, I believe doctrine is important. And I think we should have good doctrine. And I don't care so much how you're structured. And I'm not so concerned about your preaching. Is it good preaching? I think it should be good preaching. But I want to see your young people. Wisdom is known by her children. Wisdom is known by her children. You're the future church. There's nothing that saps the life out of a congregation more than young people who do not fear God and their life is just for the party. And there is nothing more for the body of Christ that gives it strength than godly young people. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, spirit, in faith, and in purity. Despise not your youth.